Morning. It's a little emotional for me to be here this morning. There's more to it than you think. Very thankful here. This is that the clock of the Lord does not stop. Especially when I look at you children and young adults, I'm always amazed at how God is, the clock of the Lord is just ticking 1 second at a time. And it's never fast and it's never slow. And those of you 10 years ago that were 9 years old are 19 years old today, right? And those of you that were 30 are now 40. There was not a beep missing. That's amazing. I guess for the parents here, for most of you, I don't see much change. Perhaps except my brother Jake back there. His beard had actually changed color quite a bit since I saw him last. But for you children, that's an amazing change that took place. Little girls that are now married, you know. Older adult, I heard that Jake's sons are 23 years old. Used to be 10 years old when I knew you. Was that, now that I have to look, I greet them like that. So remember, the clock of the Lord is always on time, and it's ticking, 1 second at a time. As my brother Jake told me this morning, as we met in the bathroom, much water went under the bridge since we last, at least, were together in fellowship. Which is, I don't know exactly, but it's something like 10 years or so. Much water went under all your bridges. I know that. There's a phrase in Hebrew that when I was reading my Bible on Friday morning, that stood out to me. It was, by faith Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. I'm very blessed this morning for many reasons, but one reason that I'm very blessed is that when I look at all of you, you all have one thing in common, is you have endured. You have pressed on. You have persevered, and I want to bless you for that. If I could put a little title to this opening, is Endurance, or Walking by Faith and Not by Sight. I see a group of people here that have endured, that have pressed on, that have maintained the vision of the one that is invisible. I want to bless you for that. We ought to keep the vision. I know that without asking you, that in these, let's say 10 years, all of you went through many challenges. Or is it just Sylvie and I? Any of you went through challenges in the last 10 years? Oh, so Sylvie, we're not the only one. On many different fronts, we had challenges. Perhaps some of you have some challenges in your marriage. We had. Did we, Sylvie? Perhaps some of you had some challenges in your responsibility to train your children in the way they should go. We have. Perhaps some of you had some challenges in your church life experience. We have. Perhaps some of you had some challenges in making a living and how to go about that. Perhaps some of you had some challenges in your physical health. All of us have a measure of challenge. We're thinking of Moses this morning. Maybe many of us had some Red Sea experience where the only option left for us was to trust in God, in spite of what's before us. I want to bless each of you this morning to have persevered and to have endured. I think it wouldn't be wrong, too, to think that maybe some of you have made some mistake in these 10 years. I have. Sometimes the cost was expensive. I want us to take courage. We have a Father that understands us, understands our frame. As we make some mistake, we might miss some joy that the Lord would have for us. But my experience is He's always there with His hand. Come along, my son. Let's go. Hallelujah. Let's go, my son. We can do it. Do you do that with your children, fathers? Have you noticed your children making some mistakes sometime? You don't reject them for that, do you? They might not be as blessed as you would like to bless them, but I know your hand is always there. Let's go, Sonny. Let's go. We can do it. We're taking example of our Father, which is above. Perhaps some of you in these last 10 years have I've learned a few things, learned a few understanding of the Scripture, perhaps. Better understanding of the Scripture. Different today than it was 10 years ago. I've been very blessed that the Lord has not ceased to work on me and to teach me. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it has to hurt before I can understand things. But nevertheless, the Lord is there and He's faithful. Basically, I want to say that I want to bless you to have let the Lord sanctify you. That's all that we are in, the process of sanctification. As I'm blessed to be here with you this morning and see the perseverance, there's something also that hurt my heart because in these 10 years also, you and I have seen some people that went shipwreck, that have given up. And that is heartbreaking. Especially would like to address this morning the young people. When we first joined the church in Vienna in 2008. I don't believe there was more than a handful of teenagers, except the first generation young brother that were there. As far as the children of the parents of the congregation, there was hardly any. Today I look here as many young people. I'd like to tell you, young people, that you are very precious. Amen. I'm very, very thankful that you're here with us this morning. You know why I'm thankful? Because there's 100 other places that you could be this morning. But you have chosen to come here. I want to bless you for that. I also want to tell you that I realize it's certainly not easy to be a young people in 2023. And we feel for you. But I also want to tell you that I'm convinced there's a way for you to make it. I think Brother Jake talks about the shepherd. And if we leave ourselves under the care of that shepherd, young people, the shepherd does not shepherd just old people. Young people. If you can leave yourself under the shepherding of Jesus, I guarantee that you can go through this time that we live in victoriously. I just want to bless you, young people. I want you to know that you're precious. I want to encourage you also to endure, young people. To persevere like Moses. You know, when Moses was maybe a little older than you, he refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. Have you heard that? Like him, I want to encourage you to refuse to be called a worldly young person that loves the world or the things of the world. Because I'd like to tell you one thing. Everything that the world had to offer, or would like to offer you, is only a mirage. Did I say it right? Mirage. Any one of you young people know what a mirage is? Yes? Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for that. I'm glad you know what a mirage is. I want to tell you, and I know because I was there, everything that the world has to offer, try to entice you with, is all mirage. You'll never obtain what they promised to give you. Please remember that. Moses chose to rather suffer with the people of God and to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. I want to encourage you with that, young people. Because Moses, you know what Moses did? He looked at the reward. He had a vision of the reward. You need to have a vision for the reward as well, young people. Don't be deceived. It's only a mirage. Press on. We love you, young people, and we appreciate you. I know it's not always easy. I know there's conflict. I know there's question mark in your mind. It's normal. Remember to put yourself under that shepherd, the Lord Jesus. He understands you. He understands your circumstances. He understands where you are, what's going on. Trust him. I want to encourage you especially to make good decisions. You think, well, I'm just 18, I'm just 20, my decisions are no big deal. Let me tell you, your decision that you make, decision you make have consequences. So take your time. Seek the Lord. Ask him to help you. Now I'd like to talk to the children. Can I do that? Now those that are 12 years and under, can I speak to you a little bit? Would you be willing to come here to the front? I'd like to talk to you just a little bit. 12 years and under. Can you do that? Would you be brave enough to do that? There you go. Look at that. That's a brave man. You can just sit there on the floor and just like to chit-chat a little bit with you. Wow. I'm very sorry, children. I don't know all your name. And I don't even know all which parent goes with what? Some I pretty well know, but not all of you. You are beautiful. Can I tell you something, children? I told the young people that they were very precious, but I'd like to tell it to you as well. Every single one of you are extremely precious. We feel very, very privileged to have you here. You know what? One time my wife and I, we went to a church. We were traveling. We went to a church somewhere. And we were shocked. You know why? Why we were shocked? There was no children. I was a young person in that church. All the other ones were much older than I was. There was no children. So when I come here, I like that. There's lots of children. Even some crying, you know. We cannot hear people praying because some... We love that. Welcome here, children. I have a few secrets for you. Can I give you a few secrets? Yeah? You like secrets? I know that your parents love you very much. I love you. I don't know you all, but I don't care that I know you. You are precious. I'd like to tell you one secret. There's a few secrets I'd like to tell you. Is that God, He loves you more than all your parents love you here. For God, what's your name? Huh? Timothy? For God, God knows Timothy ins and out. He knows everything in Timothy's life. And what's your name?
Marlon.
Marlon? Marlon. Well, God knows you. He knows you better than me. He knows your name better. He knows how it's written. I'm not sure. And He cares for you. He has such a longing that every one of you children, now look at me, every single one of you would put yourself under this shepherd that Brother Jake talked about. And you know why? I just like to, I don't know what to tell you that, but there's something special for you in your life. It's that you have parents that have a longing and a desire to build up a godly family. And I don't know if you notice, but in the world that we live in today, it's very, very unfortunate, but the most children your age have parents that vision. So I want you to appreciate your parents, children. Because I read the other day some study that they're making, and I don't want to scare you about that, but they say that, say you go to town, you go to Fredericton, and you go in the park, and you see 20 children there playing. Well, apparently they say that out of 20 children, 10 of these children lived in home where mom and dad are no longer together. Broken family. That's one on every two children. And that is hard. But you have parents that care and love each other. So I want you to appreciate that. But I want to give you another secret. You know, God, you heard about God, you heard about the Bible. This book, there's a lot of stuff in this book for your parents to learn and to understand and to seek. And that's addressed to your parents. But to you children, there's a few places that God specifically talked to you. Did you know that? I think you knew that. Do you know any place in this Bible that you know that God is specifically talking to you children? Anyone know that? No?
Yeah.
What is it, Hannah? You know, can you tell me what the Bible specifically talks to children about? Right. Children, in Colossians 3:20, it says this. It's specifically to you. Now, listen carefully. Let your parents decipher the rest, but for now, just concentrate on this one. Children, obey your parents most of the time, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord.
All the time.
Huh? It's not most of the time?
All the time.
In all things, it says. So this is for you. Okay, let your parent try to understand the rest of the Bible for now and concentrate. It's for you. And this is my secret for you. Now, you see that? What is it? Watering can. Well, I'd like you to, can you imagine a little bit? Now, I want you to imagine that God has something like that. And in it, okay? It's full of blessings. That's God. He has one like that, and it's full of blessing. And when he sees little children, like you, and you as well, that takes the word there that says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. So when you do that, God's got this watering can full of what's in there?
Blessings.
Blessings. And then he goes over you. He's blessing you. And when he's blessing you, you know, it feels good. It just, you're at peace in your heart. You just, you're happy, right? You like to be happy? He just imagine the blessing falling upon you. Doesn't that feel good?
Yeah.
Do you feel it? Oh, look at that. Hey, Jason. Oh, look at that. You know when it's hot and you imagine it's hot, now you receive this blessing from God. When you obey, there's something good. God just wants to bless you all the time. But unfortunately, maybe, I don't know if any of you children, it happens sometime, but sometimes you might not obey your parent just very good. Did anyone of you have a problem with bad attitude sometime? Or is it just in Centerville area? Bad attitude. Is that? Timothy, do you know what a bad attitude is? Yeah? Do you sometimes have one? When your dad asks you something, do you?
Sometimes.
Okay. How does it feel?
Not good.
That's good. Well, that's the answer right there. So children, remember, God has got a big watering can like that. It's full of blessing. And all he would like to is to be able to pour it on you all the time.
Amen.
That is when you obey your parents. I know sometimes there's challenge. It's not easy, but I just want to tell you, if you want the Lord to bless you, obey your parents. Sometimes you might not understand why, and they ask you this, or they want you to go to bed now, you'd like to stay. Just trust them. They're there to care for you. They're there to train you. And you are extremely privileged to have the parents that you have.
What's a
knot? What's a
what?
What's in there?
Yeah.
It's the blessings of God. So listen, that's all I have to tell you. God loves you more than we all love you. And if you want the Lord to bless you, be mindful to your parents. Appreciate your parents. And you might not have a big prayer life, but, you know, it would be good for you. Maybe when you go to bed or when you get up in the morning, just to take a little minute and say, God, thank you for the good parents that you gave me. That'll go a long way. Okay, you can go to your place. Thanks for listening. Wow, you're pretty vigorous. I would like to close with a little story, an Old Testament story. Do You like stories? I'm going to name you 10 men of the Old Testament. First one is Shammah, Shaphat, Igal, Palti, Gadiel, Amiel, Setur, Nabi, and Guel. I'm going to tell you a story about these men. Do you know these men? Any one of you know these men? Familiar with these men? You're not? There were 10 great leaders in Israel. And it is also part of the story. One is Joshua, and the other one is Caleb. Anyone know about these two men?
Yeah.
Oh. So why don't you know about the other 10? They were all together. They were all, each one of them were a leader of a tribe in Israel. They were men that were so outstanding, they have been chosen to lead thousands and thousands of people. 12 of them. But for some reason, you only remember 2 of them. Why would that be? It's because although they were gifted men, they were outstanding men. Listen, they walked by sight. They didn't walk by faith. They did not persevere. They did not endure. They did not trust God. And today you don't remember them. Because God killed them. I don't know if you remember a little bit of the story. Well, you know, you remember the story, but Israel had been set free from Egypt. It was a big ordeal, you know, the 10 plagues of Egypt, and then moving out, and then the cloud was guiding them, and the fire by night, and they thought they were free and safe, and then all of a sudden Pharaoh came with his army, and they were right there by the Red Sea, and they didn't know what to do, and you know the rest of the story. They were able to cross the Red Sea on dry land, where Pharaoh and his army were drowned, and all drowned in there. That was amazing. Can you imagine having seen the 10 plagues of Egypt, having been there to see them, having been seeing this Red Sea experience, and now they've been walking in the desert for about a year, and they knew there was a promised land somewhere that was supposed to be flowing with milk and honey, and finally get to a place where they send 10 spies to go in that land. And they spent 40 days to spy the land. And they came back. It's in number chapter 13. Just want to read a few. They came back. Imagine Israel when they came back. Hey, they're back. So everyone came and they just want to hear the report of these 12 spies. It says, they are starting to give their report to the people. It says, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." If you remember, they brought some sample of the fruit, big grapes. And so imagine Israel when they saw that. Wow, it's true. I mean, that land is there. They were excited. But then the report was not finished yet. And then it says, "But the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Wow. Now the tone changed and they start to, what's going on? But then all of a sudden Caleb spoke up. He called the people before Moses and said, "Hey, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." How about that? Young people, I want to tell you, you can take that land that we live in right now. You can easily take that. You have to have like Caleb. We can do it. If God is for us, who can be against us? That was Caleb's heart. But then they start to wail again. No, you know, we're just like grasshopper. And so the whole congregation start to moan. And, oh, why did you brought us here? And then again, I don't know if it was Joshua or Caleb, but he tried to speak to them again. And he says, "The land that we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord." That's for all of us. "Nor fear the people of the land, for they are bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Hallelujah. And you know what happened after that? After they heard these words of faith, do you know what they want to do after that? It says, all the congregation said to stone them with stone. That's how they received the message of faith from Caleb and Joshua. But really where I go in the story is in the book of Joshua. I want to close with that to encourage each one of you here. So Joshua became the leader of Israel after Moses died. We all know that. And he led the people through, and he was an amazing leader. It seems that as long as he was in Joshua's leadership, it went well. We have not heard much about Caleb then. Now we're going to look back to Caleb again and see what happened with Caleb. And I'd like it to be all of our stories, Caleb's stories. So you remember after they grumbled and they did not trust Caleb and Joshua, God decided he was so angry with Israel, he wiped them all off. But what happened? Who intercede for Israel? Moses did. He cried out to God, "Do that. What is the Egyptians going to say? What's your name going to be affected?" He just pleaded on behalf of Israel. And God relented and says, "Okay, I'm not going to wipe them all up, but all these men, 20 years up and over, will see the promised land except these two guys, Caleb and Joshua." So 40 years now they have penetrated in the land under Joshua's command. And if my numbers are right, it took about 5 years before they start to divide the land to every tribe. Okay, this is where we are now. Now we're going to see what Caleb said. This is in Joshua chapter 14. "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him." Now Caleb is addressing Joshua here. And Caleb right now is 85 years old. He was 40 years old when he went to spy. Now he is 85 years old. And he said to Caleb, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have,'" listen to that, this is Caleb's testimony, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses told that to Caleb. I want all of you this morning to wholly follow the Lord, no matter what. But the story is not finished. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, Caleb speaking, here I am this day, 85 years old. So now listen to the situation, okay? Caleb was 85, Joshua was probably 85, and guess what? The next men after them were, how old were they? 60 at the most, right? There was no man older than 60 years old, or 65, because now he's 85. So there was 20 years difference. And now let's see what Caleb was going to ask for. Okay? As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, this is Caleb addressing Joshua. He says, now therefore, give me this mountain. You see the mountain over there? Give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the city were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Now notice that. Caleb was the oldest man there. He could have easily asked, "Why, there's a nice plain over there by the river. I'd be nice. I'd like this one." He did not choose that one, brothers. He said, "You see that mountain over there where there's these big men, these big cities? Give me that mountain. If the Lord is with me, we're going to conquer that one." He's a man of faith, brother. 85 years old. He said, I'm strong as when I was 40. Fathers, young people, children, it's the very same God we're serving today. I don't know what mountain is in your life right now. I want you to look with the eyes that Caleb has. Trust in the Lord. You have done well. You have endured. I know you've went through many things. You're here today. Just keep the vision. Remember Caleb. He didn't want to go the easy way. He said, give me that mountain. And Joshua says, God bless you. You go for it. And he overcame. I want us to persevere, brother, to endure. I'd like to close with three verses here. One is in Matthew 24, verse 13, Jesus speaking. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Let's endure to the end. I don't know what challenges you have today, you're going to have tomorrow. I don't know. But remember what Brother Jake said. This shepherd is able to take you through any of them, and you shall not want. The other one is in Philippians 3. That is certainly my heart. Not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Everyone here, let's have this heart within us. I know we had many struggles behind us, but let's look ahead. Let's learn from these things and move forward. Let's get hold for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. Closing with this last verse in Hebrews chapter 10, 35 to 39. This was the exhortation that we received there. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. Brothers, we have need of endurance. Every one of us, whether we're little children, a teenager, or a father and a mother, or a grandfather or grandmother, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise, brother. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Let's not be like these 10 men that live by sight. Oh, they're too big. Oh, it's too impressive. They forgot the God that has done all these things for them. The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Lord, bless you, brothers and sisters and children.